Thank you for that. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us as we listen to your word, that you would speak to us afresh, transform us and change us into the people you want us to be. Amen. I wonder if any of you have worn anything or used anything for protection and protecting yourself this week. Anybody? Yes, Buddha. You had your eclipse glasses. Anybody else wear the little eclipse glasses things? I didn't manage to get any. I didn't look at it, by the way. I was very careful. But lots of people were there, weren't they, with those. We were driving. I was driving Sarah to her mum's. They've gone off for a bit of a holiday. And we were driving to Solihull at that time. And every so often we saw little groups of people stood by the side of the road with the glasses on, all staring at the sky. It looked like we were in a science fiction film. So some people have been wearing those. Any other things this week? Because I think we all wear quite a lot of protection. I've got some suggestions here. Anyone want a sun hat? I should hope so. It's been hot and sunny. Make sure you wear a sun hat. Got my sun hat, my Birmingham sun hat. Suntan lotion. Have you been using your suntan lotion? Very good. Make sure you put your suntan lotion on. We do those things. Anybody done any cooking this week? No, we've just eaten ice cream all week. That's all we can cope with. Got your oven gloves? Bit of protection for when you're cooking. Got your oven gloves? I've begun to realise how much protection there is. And I use quite a lot, I've realised. In the winter, got a log burner. I do like using this. So I've got my chainsaw. They are very dangerous. Never play with chainsaws, okay? Just as a little clarity. But when I'm using my chainsaw, there's two things I need. Goggles, because those wood chips go everywhere. And better than that, if I can get them sorted, my ear defenders. And now I can't hear anything. You can say what you like about me. So I wear those all the time. And then the other thing I like doing, as well as playing with a chainsaw, some of you will know that really what I like doing is playing trains. You see, this is from a garden railway, you see. So I like playing trains, especially nice big trains like that. Now, in order to do this, I make lots of things. I like lots of buildings and carriages, and I have to spray them all, and I have to varnish them all, and those are not pleasant things. So I'm there out in my shed, wearing this and spraying away, and now you can't hear me either. So that's what I'm wearing all the time. And then when we're out and about, see these very often? Kind of all the time now, don't we? People wearing high-vis for their protection. So we live in a place where we actually wear a lot of protection. Whether it's because we're doing the cooking, oven gloves, putting on the suntan lotion, or something far more risky. Whether it's using dangerous equipment, the guys here being really careful when they're climbing up the high scaffolding, people with the hard hats and things. And the reason we wear protection is so that we can do risky things. That's why we wear it, because we want to do things that are risky. We don't avoid them, we want to do them. The point of protection is to allow us to be in places that are a bit dangerous. The point of protection is that we go to places where we could get hurt and we do things that could hurt us, but we're protected so we can do those things. That's the point of protection. It's for when we actually are doing risky things. It's not to avoid them. That means we just don't do it. Don't need protection. Just sit on the settee. Don't need it. The point of protection is to do risky things. And that's a really good example for me as I was thinking about it, a visual example of what God's protection is about. God's protection, as we see in the story of Daniel, is not about avoiding difficulty. It's about protecting us when life is difficult. It's about our protection so we can be in difficult times and difficult places and can get through and come out the other side safely. That's the point of protection. It's for when life's difficult, not to avoid it. Because this story of Daniel, which is so famous, isn't it? And there he was, having been captured by the Babylonians, taken to Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. And really, this is a story also, it's about petty jealousy, isn't it? The satraps, David asked if I was going to explain what a satrap is. I'm not. Well, they were sort of a government official. They were a civil servant, if you like. Basically, they were jealous. Daniel was, to their mind, going to take their job. There was a promotion coming up. They wanted it. They thought they should get it. And Daniel, this outsider, looked like he was going to get it. And they were jealous. And the trouble was, is they wanted to bring him down. They wanted to kind of find fault with him and drop him in it. And they couldn't find anything to get him on. Because he was honest and upright and had integrity and worked hard and got there before they did and left after they did and got the job done really well. So they thought, well, the only thing we can get him on is his religion, because he's a bit obsessed with that, so that we can use against him. And they did. And they persuaded the king to create this law where no one could worship anything other than him for 30 days. And the king, because he was, well, a bit of an idiot and had a big ego, went, oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Everyone worship me for 30 days. Signed the law without thinking about it. Daniel, because he's not an idiot, thinks, well, blow that. I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to carry on praying to God. I want to pray to God, not just to some king who's decided he's a bit clever. I'm just going to carry on praying to God. I don't care. Why would I pray to anyone else? That's ridiculous. So Daniel just carries on. And Daniel just carries on in the way that he always has done. He goes and stands in his window. So I'm just going to carry on like I've always done. Why should I change? Just because the king's gone a bit mad. And so he does. Knowing that it would lead somewhere risky, but knowing he had protection from God. Or at least believe in it, or at least perhaps hope in it. And of course the story unfolds. The satraps, the civil servants rush back to the king. Ha, we've got Daniel's not obeying you. The king goes, oh, forgot about him. What an idiot I've been. But I can't change it now because that's the law. Says, Daniel, I'm terribly sorry. Bit awkward. Going to have to throw you to lions. Sorry. Hope your God can save you. But anyway, there you go. And puts him in the den of lions. That's what happens. And as we know, of course, Daniel does survive. Now, the things that are quite interesting about this that we can think about, what does that mean for us? Kind of, so what? Because one of the questions when we talk about God's protection is always, why doesn't God protect everybody? We haven't got time to dig into that in all its complexity today, but most people in those days who got thrown into dens of lions got eaten. This is really exceptional. This is not the norm. The point of this story is not to say you can go and sit amongst lions and you'll be okay if you're a Christian. That's not the point of the story. You will get eaten if you go to a safari park and go and sit with the lions. The point is not just to go and sit with lions. But there was something here about God saying, I'm going to show that my protection extends even into the lion's den. My protection is there at these risky times. This is an exceptional one, but it shows that my protection is there in all sorts of other ways. And God carries on that promise of protection today. So I just want to think a little bit about what might that protection look like? Because as I say, please don't go and sit amongst lions and see what happens. I think one of the ways God protects us is he gives us brains to use our common sense so we can be protected. Please don't go home and go, I'm not going to use oven gloves because God will protect me. You will get burned. God's given us common sense to go, put on some oven gloves, you won't get hurt. Wear your sun hat, use your suntan lotion. Those are ways that God has said, I've given you the capacity to be able to protect yourselves. That isn't just, it doesn't matter, wasn't that clever? I think that comes from God. That capacity to say, we can do some stuff. And God says, There's one way. I've given you the ability to do these things. But God's protection is so much more than just the everyday, those things that we see around us. God's protection is deeper than that. It extends further than that. And I think very often what we find today is God's protection is there, if you like, inside. It's at a spiritual level, perhaps at an emotional level. There are examples, and I know examples, where God has protected people miraculously, physically. It does happen. It tends to be quite unusual for whatever reason. But certainly, I know of God's protection inside. God protecting us, for one thing, for all the lies that we internalize, that we believe about ourselves. You're no good. You're a failure. You sin too much. God will never love you. No one else will ever like you. You're worthless. Ever had those thoughts? God says, but my love is greater than all those things. I will always love you. I will always forgive you. I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will protect you from those. You do not need to live with those lies anymore. Trust me, like Daniel trusted, and I will protect you from those lies that eat away at us. So many people live with those lies as a reality. And God says, I will protect you. Trust me, and I will protect you. I will protect you. So those things that seem really bad, those difficult times, times we go through that are difficult, no longer define who you are. Where you've got something wrong, he said, you don't need to be defined by that thing that went wrong. That thing you did which went wrong, where you said the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing, you watched the wrong thing, that doesn't define you. That's not who you are. I'll protect you from that becoming all-consuming. You've gone through that difficult bit. I'll protect you. That isn't who you are. You are my child. You are loved by me. You are valuable. You are worthy. I'll protect you from those other things. When we feel so isolated and alone, God says, I'll protect you from those times when it feels isolating. I will always be here. I will also provide you with people. One of the things about being a Christian is there's always another Christian somewhere. It's one of the things I've discovered when I fortunately get to travel quite a lot. I always know I can find a church and go in and I'll find someone and I say, I'm a Christian, who will smile and go, ah, welcome. There's always someone somewhere. God says, I protect you. God wants us to feel valued, to feel safe in Him, to feel that we are going to get through this. He says, I will protect you. I will walk through the most difficult times with you. I don't sit outside the den of lions looking in going, hope it's going to be okay. That's all the king could do. He says, I will walk with you. That very famous psalm, Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, through the most painful times, God says, I will be there with my rod and staff to protect you. That's what those things do, they protect. But I'll go with you through the valley. And whatever things that we're finding, this is a really tough time. God says, I will go with you. This message of God's protection continues through the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 6, there's a very famous verse about putting on the armor of God. You may have heard it. And it talks about the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with the shoes of readiness that comes from the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. All that is for protection. It's only right at the end, he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only thing that might be offensive to attack actually is the Spirit of God. Everything else is for protection. Our head, our heart, our bodies, our where we go, everything is about protection. But the other thing in that passage in Ephesians, it says at the start, stand firm. That's all it says, and it repeats that phrase lots of times in that passage. He's saying, when you're under attack, when you need this protection, all I'm asking you to do is stand firm. You don't have to rush around saving the world and being a hero. Just stand firm. You don't have to conquer all the evil. You just have to stand firm. You don't have to be a shining example to others. Just stand firm. And you notice Daniel in the lion's den, what did he have to do? He just had to sit tight. He didn't have to do anything in there. He wasn't lion taming. He wasn't doing anything to make sure that they avoided him. All he had to do was sit tight. And God says, when I protect you, I don't expect you to do it all. I just want you to sit tight, stand firm, and I will protect you. You don't need to rush around trying to solve it all yourselves. Trust in me. Trust in my love. And I will walk with you. I will carry you. All you have to do is stand firm. And we can find God's protection. And ultimately, he protects us from sin. By the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are protected from sin that will destroy us and take us away from God in this life and for all eternity. We are protected from that so that we are always, always a child of God, surrounded and protected by him. Amen.